The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yes! Go Cowboys!
This is Media Mash,
a roundtable of Cowboys insiders
dropping wisdom
and offering sizzling takes
on the current state of your Dallas Cowboys. Now your host, Newey Scruggs.
Let's ride.
Is that every single episode?
Until it's trademarked by Russell Wilson and I don't have to pay any fees, we'll go with it. As Russell's now going to be demoted to my backup starting quarterback of my fantasy team.
Man.
Media Mash today. Bobby Belt, 105.3 The Fan, the official home of the Dallas Cowboys. Rob Phillips of DallasCowboys.com, the official website of Dallas Cowboys. And Jane Slater of NFL Network, the official television station of the National Football League. I'm merely Newey Scruggs. Not officially with anything.
Oh, stop.
It matters.
Just a million different jobs.
So... Jerry said things today.
What about?
The Hall of Fame owner, Gerald Wayne Jones, was asked about Cooper Rush keeping the job. Which, by the way, we laughed at fans who immediately, the Dak haters, who immediately, keep Cooper Rush. Then you had Steve Young jumping off the top rope. So you had a whole lot of people, ready to put the anointing oil on Cooper Rush. And just as we, most of us who are here doing this, I'd like to say in a responsible fashion, we're all shooting it down. Yeah. Here comes Jerry. Well, let's open that can back up. Perfect scenario for me is, hey, Cooper does so well that I got a decision to make. That would be great. That would mean that he's playing well. Jerry just walked out. He just walked down there, man. And it's been tweeted out. You've tweeted it out, Bobby Bell, Jane, Rob. Everybody's, it's out there on social media. But there's Jerry. There's Jerry. So I'm going to start with you. We'll go around the table.
So full disclosure, our team cam is down here, so I have to do my NFL Network hits from home. So I get up here, and I hear that Jerry is sitting down with ESPN, and he's outside in the hallway. And so I thought you were messing with me that he was out there talking to reporters this week. So I was slow to get over there. By the time I'd gotten there, it already broke up. So when everyone's like, oh, yeah, he's starting a quarterback contract. No. So John Machota had filmed it, and I said, show me the clip. Show me the clip. Because sometimes we hear things, Clarence, a little different than how it comes out, right? Make no mistake, he 1,000% was stirring this up. And we get why he did it. And I talked to Ezekiel Elliott about this, and so did Jory, and maybe we have the sound for that here in a second. But we know what he's doing. And I think in a perfect world, it makes sense, right? It's better for their cap, et cetera. And that locker room seems to really like Cooper Rush. But with that being said, we haven't seen him in back-to-back career starts. And I even asked Mike about this week. There's not a lot of tape on Cooper. He starts playing in a couple of games. Other teams start figuring out his tendencies. Like, how all world is this guy going to look? He scored on the first two drives. They were shut out pretty much in the second half.
Yep.
Help me out with this.
Yeah. No, I think when you look at here's the thing, is that it's, boy, that'd be great. It'd be great if he played so well. It's like, yeah, when we were in Oxnard and we all saw the $1 billion Powerball, I was like, it'd be great if I won that. But it's not, not going to happen. Like, I'm sorry. Look, like Cooper Rush has done an admirable job the two times he's been asked to fill in. But Jane's right. Get out there, you score on the first two drives. Cincinnati had to respect the passing game, started taking some stuff away. It became more of a struggle for him. And he stepped up when it mattered most. It was great. On that final drive, got into position, Maher kicks the field goal. That's wonderful. But, I don't think that's sustainable. I mean, when you look at it still, his pass rating that game against Cincinnati, as well as he played, was 80? He still had his struggles in the second half. It wasn't, an all-world performance. He did enough. And that's all you want from your backup quarterback is to do enough. But as Zeke says, it's marketing.
Which, by the way, real quick, the reason why they didn't bring in a Colin Kaepernick or some of these other guys in the past is because they said they didn't want a quarterback controversy.
I don't think he wants.
I mean, Jerry has literally said to us, we don't want someone better than our starter on the roster because it creates a quarterback controversy. And then he's starting one himself.
Is he starting one?
Yes, he knows exactly what he's doing. And he's told us he knows what he's doing.
Is he just having fun? Because he's feeling good. He's feeling good because they came back and won a tough game. And he's looking at the schedule ahead and saying, man, what if we can win a couple more here without Dak if we need to? And he's starting to look ahead and dream of 2016 when he had an embarrassment of riches at the quarterback position. But it's all ultimately, to me, it's all moot. And he talked about 10 games. It would have to be 10 games to even think about this. They're trying to get Dak back. This was an 8-week injury, and now it's like a what is it, maybe a three-week injury?
Which,
like,
by the way,
Dak's going to be back before we know it. We think he's trying to go out there doing stuff today. He didn't throw, but, you know.
Which, by the way, I think is such a disservice to Dak, too, by putting it out there that we think we can have him back by week three or four. Because I just think you're putting a lot of pressure on Dak right now. And if you're not careful, you're starting this quarterback controversy. You're telling the media that he can be back in 3 to 4 weeks. What if he rushes himself back and then you don't have a quarterback with a working thumb in December?
Cooper Rush's thumb works just fine.
I'll stop.
but you know what? That would be part of the good problem to have, right? If they keep winning with Cooper Rush and it's a thing where Dak is 85%, whatever. Dak would play today if he could.
Right.
Sure. But then maybe, yeah, you can extend this out a little bit to your point to where you don't have to rush him back and you risk re-injury.
Which I'm fine with. I just think it's such a disservice to your quarterback who's trying to get back. Who, by the way, is, you know, he talks a lot about his mental health, and he's had a really rough last couple of years. And is this helpful for a guy knowing some of those things?
Man, this is you're talking about a guy, though, who I don't think you can put any more pressure on Dak than he welcomes for himself already. Like I think anything Jerry's talking about, I think if you were to get Dak off to the side and ask him the same things, he's probably also like, yeah, I can get ready. Like, I can totally get ready in 3 weeks. Like,
well,
like
Zeke,
I think
has
Jerry
already said that today,
Jerry,
right?
And Dak tend to mirror that sort of, you know, positive aggressiveness about, like, I can get ready. I can be out there ready to play. I mean, like we saw, how often has Dak... Last summer, it was the overwork in the offseason. He put himself in a bad position, in all likelihood, with how often he's working in the Dak yard during the summer and everything with everybody else. And so I think that the only amount of rushing back you have to worry about is less the team rushing him back and Dak rushing himself back.
But
I think that's Dak more than Jerry.
But my point is, and Mike McCarthy said it this week, and they've said it in the past, he tends to push the envelope.
Sure.
In other words, Dak tries to rush himself back. You know that. So why are you putting this fire underneath Dak, knowing that that's already a problem for you?
What if it's the reverse, though? What if Dak's putting the fire under Jerry, and Jerry's talked to him, and then Jerry's going, he can be back in 3 weeks. I talked to him yesterday.
Yeah, but I'm saying,
I mean, he
by
didn't
adding
say that,
this
that
other
came from?
Layer today about sure. the Cooper, I just think it's a disservice to your starter.
Sure.
He wasn't saying this stuff about Tony Romo in Dak Prescott week two. He wasn't.
No. But there had also, he had never experienced anything like that. He's now experienced something like that. He's like, it's possible.
And he thought it was impossible at the time. But Dak gave them 2 straight months of, we can't lose football. And in this case, Cooper Rush is going to have, what, a couple more cracks at this? And then it's going to be
well, and here's the other
all
thing.
Almost 100%. Like,
here's the other thing. In this imaginary scenario where they win 10 in a row and Dak can't come back in 10 weeks from an injury that on the most, like, pessimistic end is like 8 weeks, then it's still a different scenario because there's still guys in that locker room who are saying, like, no, Dak needs to come back. Whereas when Dak went on that roll, that was a locker room that was pretty much like, we got to roll with Dak. I don't think there's going to be a swarm from the locker room saying, we got to roll with Cooper Rush.
This is
I don't think that's
team.
What it
and, he, and Zeke was asked, Jane, you might have asked him, and he was just like, let's not even go there.
I asked Tyler Biotish about it too. I mean, they all just kind of did the, you know, they love Coop. It's fascinating to me that they literally let Coop go. 31 other teams didn't want him, and they were lucky enough to get him back because of how well he knows this roster and how much the guys in that locker room love Coop. But I think what they love about Coop is Coop isn't ambitious in the sense that he wants that job, right? And Dak was never ambitious either. It's just, I don't think people realized how much Tony didn't have the personality of Dak in the locker room and his ability to galvanize everyone.
Let's play that clip. Chris Beam's got it.
I mean, I think that's just, I don't really pay much attention to that. It's just really, those people on TV that get clicks, to get views, you're going to say the most outrageous stuff, you're going to get the most attention. That's their job. So who knows if they even believe that?
From more inside the building, Jerry just said, wouldn't it be something if we had a dilemma at the end of Cooper's time here?
There you go. That's a classic example.
Jerry said that.
Well, yeah, he wants y'all to be clicking and listening to him, too. It's all marketing, man. It's all marketing. Thank you.
Nobody knows better than the guy who signed his contract. And then there's a, like, Jerry, like, let's pose with the Zeke Who shirt now. Like clearly, he's all about the market.
By the way, a lot of people don't realize that Zeke and his team wanted to do a shirt like that, and Jerry beat him to the punch.
So that was in the locker room that happened earlier today. I actually got that last little bit with Zeke before he headed off to go do the Players Lounge podcast. And credit to Jory for asking the question, because I was like, yes, somebody asked it, and now we have that content to talk about. And Rob, you've been around here forever. Bobby, you've covered the team forever. Jane, you've covered the team forever. I've been around a little bit. This is classic Jerry.
This is Jerry. He's having fun.
It is. No, I did. It was funny. We were in the hallway, and I saw Michael Gelkin from the Dallas Morning News. And I walked over to Michael, and I was just like, you know, I was like, he got here in 2019. I was like, this has got to be your most thoroughly Cowboys moment yet. The owner and general manager just slips off into a hallway on Thursday and goes, I'd love a quarterback controversy, by the way, you guys. And it's just like, oh, yeah, this is kind of the moment.
He wanted a coach controversy this offseason, which I thought was so disrespectful to Mike McCarthy.
But this is Jerry. Jane, this is a guy who ultimately did, I mean, is there any more disrespect than a dude who won two Super Bowls? And he's, hey, 500 coaches could have done that.
Yeah, Jimmy's still not in the Ring of Honor.
You know, I mean, yeah, he's sniveling.
That was like peak Jerry to me. Like, that was peak Jerry. And don't mistake this. Jerry, if you're listening, you know I'm a huge fan. I find him, I always compare him to Walt Disney. And I say this to a lot of people, like when I worked at ESPN, they make you go through like this rookie seminar, and we spend almost half a day learning about the Imagineer and how when you'd walk into the theme park, they would give you bubble gum and they wanted to see where you were throwing your wrappers, and that's where you put the trash cans. And it's like Jerry's mind is always thinking about that marketing. How do I make things better? How I think there's going to be a book written about how Jerry does this one day when he's no longer here, because he's done a dynamic job making a team that's completely irrelevant. We have 13 reporters at the NFL Network. I barely move, do I, Bobby?
Yeah.
Why? Because no one, even when they're terrible, and even when the fans say there's too much coverage, you can bank on me being on TV talking about the Dallas Cowboys at least 3 days a week.
Oh.
500 or under.
Oh, no,
it doesn't matter what the record is.
Look, the standard, again, pulling back the curtain a little bit, the standard is always like you finish up at NFL Network and you go, all right, like, winner's locker room, we'll head over there, we'll get a one-on-one. Routinely, the answer is, win or lose, we're going to Cowboys. We're going to the Cowboys locker to get their reaction to whatever happened to them today.
Innovation is the word. Innovation. And that's what Walt Disney was about. I mean, you talk about the great people in business, they're innovators. They're showing and doing things that you haven't seen before. I remember being in Canton, and there was, when you go to Canton for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, there's always a group of disgruntled fan bases or sects, like, how come this guy, that. Denver Bronco fans have been disgruntled for years about they feel like a lack of players have gotten in, and there were people who were mad, like, how does Jerry get in and not Pat Bowlen? And then it got into the whole TV thing. Well, Pat Bowlen was the chairman of the television committee. Okay, but Jerry's the one who went and pulled Rupert Murdoch in this thing and changed not just pro football, he changed the way we watch television today.
1,000%.
Fox was just, they got Bart Simpson. That's all you really knew about Fox. Created a whole network. Mm-hmm. People were ditching CBS. He created a whole fourth network, which created a whole lot of jobs for people like me. Jerry taught owners how to make money.
The Nike partnership on Monday Night Football in the 95 opener was huge. Him standing there on the sideline with Phil Knight. That was a huge game changer for
guys,
all that.
Guys, what he's done here are the podcast in the studio. When I started, I was leaving CBS 11 in sports. DallasCowboys.com was still over there at Valley Ranch. Gina Miller had done a little bit before them, and then I came in. They're like, Derek Eagleton was great. He was like, you know, just go out and do some packages. And from that, we now have team reporters. We, you know, the entire website is one of the best websites in the league. The amount of podcasting content, that's all Jerry.
Innovation.
And other teams have followed.
Innovation. You talk about the Monday night. Phil Knight, innovator. And so what through the years, Jerry has always thought big, but he's also got around people who think big as well. And that's when you got the whole mastermind. When you get with great people, you know, the French Impressionists, I mean, they all hung together. Francis Ford Coppola, Steve Spielberg,
Martin Scorsese.
So, right, they hung together. So that's what you do, and that's the masterclass is where you get great innovators and people. Hey, what if we did this? What if we did? He and Phil Knight orchestrated that deal.
Yeah,
we know it's on Monday Night Football. We know there's a problem. Pat Bowlen, I was told, said in one sense on camera, this is wrong. We're gonna sue the league. This is bad faith. And then I'm told, dude. Flew to Oregon to say, "Hey man, how can I get that deal? How can we get a taste? If you're gonna do this, can I get a taste here?" That's what Jerry does. He's innovator,
innovation and attention. Like if it doesn't matter, put us in the news. Like it doesn't matter. Like you're talking about us. That he's fine with that. He doesn't care about criticism. He never has. If he did, he would have been out of this business a long time ago. I just go back to what he said though. Ultimately, it comes down to W's. That's what he's looking for. He's feeling good this week. He was not feeling good last week. He's looking at this opportunity right now of like, we might get on a little run here, even without Dak potentially. And this isn't even a conversation if they don't win. That's why he's talking about it, because he thinks they've got a chance to put some wins together.
Well, I just love that the one thing that people don't realize about Jerry is how much he pays attention to everything that's on TV, that's on Twitter, that's on Instagram, what is in the newspapers. And he has seen some of the narratives out there about Dak versus Cooper. And he knows that this fan base has gotten fairly apathetic and frustrated. And so he's throwing the Dak haters almost a little bit of a bone. Let's get interested. There's, you know, Dak, he to me is, for the fans that also watch Real Housewives, which is one of my favorite guilty pleasures.
I don't.
He's like the Lisa Rinna. There's always like this ghost drama that Lisa Rinna will throw in on Real Housewives, just like last night, which was one of my favorite episodes.
She Beverly Hills?
But it's like, I love that Mike McCarthy sort of conceded he needs to work on his drama. Because he says he doesn't really fit in around here. It's like, you've got to be about the drama. Like, Chill is always like, stop the drama. It's like, there's always drama here.
It's not dull. That's for
yes. Never.
Yes.
That's why I'll never leave this beat.
I'll end it with this. Many years ago, when Terdim Usri was the CEO of the Mavericks, he told me when he first took over when Ross Perot bought the team and hired him, he said, one of his biggest issues was no one talked about the Mavericks. So he opened up the Dallas Morning News, nobody cared. Nobody cared. He's like, we got to get to the point in time, even if you just boo us, at least show me you give a rip. And I look right now to a team that you and I have covered before, the Texas Rangers. Man, I'm just trying. Can it end is my thing right now. Can this thing just end so I can just not have to worry about talking about it at night? Because that's where we are. Don't care. You don't care. Jerry's making sure that you always care.
Even in the off season.
Always.
Give me a coach controversy.
Always care. All right. It's so wild. The practice report is out. We got some folks who did not practice today, including the best player on the football team, Jane Slater, Rob Phillips, Bobby Beller, Newey Scruggs. This is Meaty Mash on DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a 3-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them Cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the Cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field. United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling. United Ag and Turf. For winning. the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Back to Media Mash.
Media Mash here on a Thursday going into a Cowboys game week, which will be on a Monday. Monday night at the Meadowlands, and they're having a homecoming game because they're like throwing in a whole bunch of dudes for their jersey retirements, at least three running backs and a couple other folks out there, one of them being Otis Anderson, MVP of Super Bowl 25.
That was when we referenced the Nike deal. That was done Monday night in New York, the night they were retiring Phil Simms' jersey.
Jerry went on the field with Phil Knight.
So that's the connect. That's why he's doing it. It's an honor of that. That's why he did the quarterback controversy this week. He's just always trying to undermine the Giants' jersey retirements.
There you go. Bobby Bell, nice. 105.3 The Fan, Rob Phillips, DallasCowboys.com, and she is Jane Slater of NFL Network and NFL.com. So, practice report, best player not practicing today. That would be Micah Parsons, number 11.
You could make an argument there. What, maybe they're three best players? Well, no Zach Martin practice. But you got no Trayvon Diggs, no Micah Parsons, no Dak, no Dalton Schultz, of course, Jayron Kearse, all these guys. Diggs apparently was non-injury personal. So that's what he's dealing with. Mike Parsons had a little bit of a cold, so they did not practice. But first time, full participation, Michael Gallup.
You think he's playing?
That dude's playing.
1,000%.
I think he's on a pitch count, but I think he's playing.
Unless there's some kind of setback during the week, the plan seems certainly that way.
I bet we get out of there and it's still Lamb and Noah Brown taking the most snaps at receiver, but I bet Gallup plays.
Yeah, Mike said don't expect 70 plays, but like a package of plays, work them in. Think about it. This would be tomorrow would be his second padded practice of the entire calendar year. So, yeah, you want to give him some ramp-up time within game action.
Packed the physical threshold is what they said. So, to me, the reason why they didn't put him on PUP is so you could get him back for the divisional game. I would be extremely shocked if we didn't see him on Monday.
I wonder if we see him between the 40s. Basically, any packages between the 40s, you're just trying to push stuff downfield. Don't ask him to do anything where he's cutting inside, middle of the field. Just like for some of your, you know, take shots down the field. You're looking to throw the ball deep down the field when you get between the 40s. That's when Michael Gallup's in there.
I think just the threat of him being in the game plan, I think helps Noah. Because I think you're going to see a little bit more respect given to Noah Brown this week. That helps CeeDee Lamb, who's, you know, struggles with double coverage. And then having Michael Gallup in there, then I think it's become, you know, a pick your poison. Then I think they can run this offense the way that they've said they want to run it, where they can run and pass. I just don't think they've had any threats. I don't think they've really respected any of the receivers prior to last week.
I mean, they'll get single coverage regardless here because Wink Martindale loves doing zero blitz. He loves just, all right, you know, single coverage, y'all press up. We're going to send seven blitzers. So
seven guys on the line of scrimmage on a third down last week.
Oh, yeah, they did it against the Panthers and the Titans.
And he's been basically saying, Adoree Jackson, go take the best receiver on the other team.
Yeah.
So CeeDee Lamb might see quite a bit of him.
Which means Noah Brown against Cordell Flott or somebody like that, they're going to need to take advantage of that.
Which I love because I did ask Zeke about this because I had a call with Xavier McKinney right before, who, by the way, played at Alabama with Trayvon Diggs and talked about you could tell then that Bama. This guy was going to be, you know, a DB because of his hands and ball skills. And he says he's kind of been coaching up the offense on some of his tendencies. But he says they're genuinely excited about the game plan every week because Wink is really mixing it up. And then if you get guys like Kayvon Thibodeau back and Azeez Ojulari, this could be an interesting defense, I think, that the Cowboys are going to go up against.
Which Ojulari will play. He told the New York Post today he's playing, and Thibodeau should be playing. Yeah. Thibodeau, they haven't said for sure. Dable, I've watched a few of his press conferences this week. He has this cute back and forth with the media where whenever they ask him about anybody, he goes, what am I going to say? And they go, day to day. And he goes, day to day. That's just like
JG style.
It's very Jason. And he kind of smiles about it, but you can tell by he talks differently about Thibodeau and Ojulari than he is about these other guys, about Aaron Robinson, Wandell Robinson, different guys that are out. He's talking like Thibodeau and Ojulari are playing. And so that'll help their passers because one of the reasons Wink Martindale's having to send all these blitzes, they cannot get home with the defensive line right now.
I feel like there are a lot of people throwing some shots at Joe Judge. I just don't know if that's really fair. Joe did the best he could.
You're kidding, right? Just
you throw shots at him, he's going to make you run laps.
Do we know that that was Joe Judge or not? Because I had heard from somebody around here that Jason Garrett used to be into that, and they didn't quite respect that. So laps. I just wonder if that came from old Jason Garrett.
Laps from JG?
He'd make him run and wanted one of the coaches to run and wasn't well received.
You want to say that? No? No? Okay. I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding.
One of the worst things that Jason did was take that job as Joe Judge's offensive coordinator. It was the worst thing. I feel Jason just needed to sit out because we saw Joe Judge implode. If Jason doesn't take another job coaching, I think he could be the head coach of the Giants. Now, we all know how much the Mara family loves.
That's interesting.
Jason.
Yeah.
Love him.
Yeah.
So if he decides to just sit out, do TV, or just chill, when this job opens up here, you got a guy who played for the Giants, knows the organization, he would have given a dang good interview and been able to say all the right things that they would have wanted to hear.
You know what's interesting, though, is that it used to be one of these things. You'll hear coaches and scouts talk about this, like you don't want to get out of the circle because it's hard to get back in. You don't want to sit out. But like we've seen in recent years, like the McCarthy style of McCarthy went back to the drawing board, spent a year away, studied.
Chris Richard
did that here in Dallas. Chris Richard spent a year away, studied, goes back to New Orleans. Now he's calling, he's a defensive coordinator in New Orleans again. But in general, you're seeing guys who are able to get back in after sitting out. And that didn't always used to be the case back in the day.
See, I tend to disagree. I think the league is starting to lean more towards finding the next young guy. The Kevin O'Connells, the Sean McVays, I think that they're doing less with the retread. That's why I think the Sean Payton dynamic is going to be very, very interesting. Everyone just assumes he's going to land a job after last year. He certainly wants back in. But are you having more success with some of these young guys?
Just popping up now right here on the phone. Sean Payton tells New Orleans Football Podcast he would be interested in 2023 NFL head coach.
Of course he is. He hates this. This guy, if you watch him, he is so uncomfortable doing the broadcast during the week. He is so ready.
You know
to
him
get
well, right?
He is so ready to get back and coach. And yes, I think he's chomping at the bit at this. I think this is a bucket list for him because he is such a Bill Parcells disciple. Like he wants, but just like Bill Parcells, you were around here, same time I was. It didn't work because that thing that happened today about a quarterback controversy, that's like a cancer in a locker room. It really is. They say it isn't, but let's assume Cooper gets a third win, a fourth win, a fifth win, a sixth win. Now we're talking about it. And it started not from the media that you could blame and have a common enemy. It's your owner, the guy that's writing your paychecks. Sean ain't going to like that.
Okay, I hear you.
Bill Parcells did not like that.
But Dak's going to be back in like, maybe 2 weeks?
Right.
That's the only thing about it. We're not going to get that far down the road, are we? I hear what you're saying, Jane.
Did any of you think Tony Romo was going to replace Dak Prescott was going to replace Tony Romo? I could never have expected the guy that was vacationing with the Jones family in the offseason, whatever. And I'm not saying that's happening here. I'm just saying prepare for the unexpected in Dallas.
No, I hear you there.
The book. I read the book, The Yankee Years, that Tom Verducci did basically with Joe Torre. And that, to me, was such a great insight of how you deal with the unpredictable owner and a guy who says one thing, and how do you, as the manager, go in the clubhouse and tell Tino Martinez, yeah, George is on you over here to the post, but here's what I need you to know. You're in the lineup today. Or I'm going to give you tonight off, go to this Italian restaurant. I want you to go to this one, order this wine, and you'll get back to it on Friday. Joe knew how to handle the crazy. He knew how to handle Steinbrenner. One of the great stories he told was when they played in the World Series in 96, his first World Series, remember they faced the Braves. And he said, hey, it ain't going to be real good the first couple of games because they got, Glavin, Maddox. He says, but then we're going to Atlanta. That's my town. We'll turn it around. And sure enough, Braves hammered him. George is all crazy. He knew how to deal with it and work the clubhouse. Sean Payton, and I'm coming to this, Sean Payton has been here for the circus. Sean knows what's going on.
But he was a passing game coordinator back then.
Right. But
this is a guy that New Orleans, he won't talk to you about injuries. And you've got Jerry giving away injuries on Wednesdays. You've got Sean, here's the thing about Sean. Sean is no different than Jerry. Do you know how many different podcasts and shows he's been on this offseason? He likes the attention. Do you think he's going to like the fact that half of us reporters aren't in the room on Fridays because we're listening to Jerry at the same time?
The celebrity coach.
I'm just telling you.
And the celebrity coach came here The celebrity coach came here and took a check.
Bill?
Yeah. The celebrity coach came here and took a check. Wrote a book. I could work for that guy. Ends up coming here, take the
check. I'd rather see Mike Vrabel here. I'm dead serious. Why would coach of the year last year?
Look what he did with Ryan Tannehill.
Look he what has doing no that. Weapons. He has Derrick Henry right now.
Hey, look.
They took everything off the table from him. I'm not stopping.
Dan Quinn.
I would love to see Dan Quinn be the head coach. But why are we even – I don't even want to get into
it. You brought it up.
I want to give Jerry.
Little Jerry over here. You did it.
I want to give Mike at least – let us get through the season where we start talking about his replacements. Yeah. But
you brought it up.
Here's what I was going to say. Fair, I'll take that. Here's what I will say about the Jerry thing, what he did today. He's almost playing good cop, bad cop in a sense that this is Mike's opportunity to be like, I'm your guy, Dak. I got you. I got you covered. It almost creates a situation that strengthens that bond, if you think about it.
But isn't Dak Jerry's guy, too, because of the check that he
have
did?
You ever watched have I mean, you is he
yeah
he I think franchise he still tagged is. Him twice
yeah but
do
they wanted
watch the,
but they
do you ever
wanted
watch
to
the
get
press
that done.
Conferences I Dave Hellman and I always it's me Dave Hellman and John Machado we're always like this during Jerry pressers
Hollywood
because
Hellman.
You watch Dak like up there on the stage Dak's eyes is like us we're just always like you should see our expressions when Jerry says certain things I wish they would almost do like an octobox and you had all of us reacting to when Jerry talks because it's so entertaining
like SNL.
That's what we need Beam to set up some of these cameras like this in the press conference room at each of our chairs
that'd
it's
be
perfect
like an SNL skit.
Yeah. Let's take a break here I'm going to strike down everything I heard from about Mike Vrabel from my ears okay just not even going to entertain that Jane Slater, Rob Phillips, Bobby Belt, I'm Newey Scruggs. This is Media Mash on DallasCowboys.com radio.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field. United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling. United Ag and Turf. For winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Lil Sweet! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far with up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less. The satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender, credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Back to Media Mash.
Anyway, Scruggs, joined by three of my favorites here in the media who also have their own takes and insights in the Cowboys, which is fun. Jane Slater, NFL Network, Rob Phillips, DallasCowboys.com, Bobby Bell, 105.3 The Fan. They go into this matchup as an underdog to the Giants.
Not wild.
It's the Jalen Smith factor.
Oh, stop.
2 years in a row.
The Cowboys are 9-1 against the Giants since 2017. That's what's crazy. And 6 of their 9 victories have been by 14 points or more. But that's how high people are on this 2-0 Giants. They haven't started 2-0 since 2016.
Right. And I think they've been 0-2 ever since. I mean, they've just been losing the start of the season. They've lost 2 in a row here. So the place is going to be packing. It's going to be, I mean, I don't like going to to that Giants Stadium. It's an interesting crowd when you go through there, the parking lot. It's an interesting group of folks. But I expect Monday night the crowd to be hyped and ready to go. Like I said, they're having homecoming, throwing and inducting 15 million people out there for the game. Poor Jimmy Johnson. I mean, like three running backs.
He's sniveling.
Think about this. You know, I think it's like, I can't remember, it was on Mix Shots, but the guy they had on there who covers the team was like, yeah, we're like seven dudes going in. Because they're like, yeah, we had COVID, so it's been backed up. But, you know, like, we're throwing a whole bunch of people here. I'm like, wow. And, you know, God bless Rodney Hampton. And you know, Otis Anderson was a Super Bowl MVP. Yeah. But I'm like, man, when you talk about impact for an organization, yeah, they were okay.
Like throwing Ron Dane in there.
That's what makes the Ring of Honor so coveted. It's so hard to get it.
Exclusivity matters. Yeah. It really does.
Beat the Cowboys.
I don't want to go to the Soho House if everybody can get in.
Right. If everybody can get in here. So,
like, Washington has everybody in.
They do.
Yeah, some teams, it's just the criteria is not.
Remember, we were in Denver.
It's not the same as
we were in Denver. We were looking around like, who's this? Yeah. Kelly Trepuka. What is he?
Washington has Vince Lombardi in there.
We're sitting next to him. We're looking at it. Yeah, it's different.
Yeah, Kelly Trepuka. And you know, Craig Morton is in there. Craig Morton, because you're young. You're young. You know what Craig Morton did here for the Cowboys?
No,
it's okay. Craig Morton was the first quarterback to take the Cowboys to the Super Bowl. Took the Super Bowl V, lost. Craig Morton was the first quarterback who took the Denver Broncos to a Super Bowl, lost to the Cowboys. Dude is plastered in that Broncos Ring of Fame. And I'm like, this is the difference. And, you know, here's a guy who, for the first round pick for the Cowboys, taking the Super Bowl, nobody cares. And Denver, thank you, man. Thank you.
Isn't wearing theirs already, I think?
That's wild before, if that's real.
And like, he'll
Randy
get in.
Gregory's already in there.
Is he?
Yeah, okay. They put him up. He's already in there.
I know. Well, you know, you talk about the crowd.
Side. Two forced fumbles.
The other
man,
thing
that's
crazy when you go up there is the Penn State fans, like Micah Parsons and Saquon Barkley. It was nuts last time I was up there, the amount of Penn State fans that were there for those two.
In New York?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's going to be a good crowd. I'm not going. I hate going to Jersey. But anyway, looking forward to seeing what.
Why? Let's deep dive in that. Let's unpack that.
It's really no different. It's just, you know, some people love going to New York. I don't. In New York, people are in a rush. You want to get across, like, you better get across the street quick because you will get hit. I mean, it's just different. I remember going to a restaurant. Hey, buddy, what do you have? I'm looking. You know, it's just a different kind of vibe. It's a different kind
of vibe.
You got
to take this. I got Rap Sheet calling me.
Oh, really? Uh-oh. Tell them Chef already got it.
Wow.
This is good.
Jane, help me. Chef, he's got this. Can you confirm it? What did he say?
Chris said take it on the air. Can we do it on the air?
No. We should have done it on the air.
Oh, wow.
She
had to leave for picks anyway.
Did I lie?
I mean, it was just out there for you.
It was right there.
Big softball.
It was right there. Okay, so yes. No media mash on Friday or Monday. So let me get and I'll just give you my pick. This Cowboy Mike pick for this game, Cowboys win 21-19. Okay, low scoring game. Giants, you know, they're averaging 20 points a game. Cowboys are, you know, they're right there too. Nobody's run. There's not multiple touchdowns. You know, we're not seeing four touchdowns thrown in this game by any one quarterback here. So that's why I went 21-19. Bobby, I'll start with you. What you got?
I've got a higher scoring game than you do. I've got the Cowboys 21-20. So, I honestly, during the break, I was sitting there going 21-20, and then you come out with 21-19, and I was sitting there going, should I change it now? I don't want it to be too similar, but give me 21-20, because I will give the Giants credit for this. Watching them on tape the last 2 weeks, there's still a little bit of a talent deficit. They're trying to build that. They fight. They're tough. They're scrappy. They're a blue-collar football team, and they'll play physical football. And if we've seen anything the Cowboys have struggled with over the last 3 years, it's been physical football teams. When teams really punch them in the mouth and turn it into a grinded-out game, that's where the Cowboys tend to struggle. But ultimately, I think Cowboys take it.
This is going to be pretty boring because I'm going to say 20-19 Cowboys.
Oh, my gosh.
I've been saying on Talking Cowboys all week, first to 20, because of both teams have kind of have struggled to get there. And I think, I mean, the Giants, like, I think this is the type of Giants team that fans in New York love because they're fine with a rock fight. They don't care. They're missing. So they don't have Tampa Bay's personnel where it's a bunch of Pro Bowlers, but they're doing it with scheme, with their new coaches, and their defense. And the Cowboys are kind of doing the same thing right now.
Boy, you see the Buffalo influence, too. the way they're calling that offense now, they're trying to mimic – Daniel Jones is doing a lot of the read option, Josh Allen stuff. The passing concepts are looking a lot more Buffalo-like. You can see Daboll's coming in there and changing things up.
Which is what they should do because that dude can't throw. He can use his legs and run, so you might as well try to make him a dual threat. I mean, look, he's – you know –
Tough embodies that team. He's tough. He'll take shots. He'll stand in there and throw it and wait for the hit. He's not going to cower from anything.
No issues with that. And Rob, going back to what you said, the Giants have an older fan base, and despite Coughlin winning two Super Bowls with Eli Manning, they all love Parcells. They all love that, you know, the '86 Giants and the team that Everson Walls played on that won Super Bowl 25. They're into that. Hell, if it's a 16-13 slobber knocker, fine. And to me, one of the greatest performances I'd ever seen as a defensive coordinator, Belichick put on when they went out to San Francisco when the 49ers were two-time Super Bowl champions, looking like they were going to go win a third, and they won a slobber knocker game.
Matt Barr, baby.
On a Matt Barr field goal. So they're trying to do this again. They've got Wink Martindale. So, yeah, I can see them being very much into this. Another reason why I don't want to go to the game. It's gonna be tough.
Yeah, and they're gonna try to make it tough on the Cowboys line too. Like Bobby just mentioned, he does a lot of exotic stuff up front. They've got a young offensive line, especially on the left side of the line. Tyler Smith, Matt Farniok probably at left guard. They're gonna try to challenge those guys and make things difficult for them. And it very well could be low scoring.
But on the other side of that, I know we've talked. It seems like every week we've talked about, well, the Buccaneers, they're a little vulnerable on the interior. Oh, the Bengals, they're a little vulnerable on the interior. The Giants are the most vulnerable on the interior of these three teams we've seen. They cannot block up the middle. Jeffrey Simmons looked like Aaron Donald every single snap. And Jeffrey Simmons is a good player for the Titans, but he's not, you know, should be in the backfield every single play like he was. And so Andrew Thomas, their left tackle, is really, really good in New York. He's one of the better tackles in football right now. But,
now,
man, a rough interior. And then Evan Neal, the rookie, has had some issues, specifically with speed guys. So Parsons rushing from that side could be a problem.
2 weeks in a row, Cowboys facing an offensive line with four new starters on it from last year. Cincinnati last week, Giants this week.
When piggybacking on what you said about Parsons and being, you know, having a middle possibly exposed, we spoke about it on the last Players Lounge podcast. Is this where you see Micah Parsons shooting up the A gap? I referenced what we saw in training camp when they were putting Mike in a lot of different places, a couple times where he beat Tyler Smith. I look at this is the kind of game where DQ hadn't really gone in the bag and shown Parsons coming through the A-gaps. This could be the week to do that.
I think the game against Carolina last year was the one where DQ broke out a lot of, like, twists and stunts and stuff for the first time. They got home on Darnold a lot. And so, like, I would just wonder how vulnerable that interior is if you see them trying to run a lot of those this week. So maybe it's Parsons coming on a twist. Maybe it is Parsons just blitzing up the middle. But I think that whatever it is, sending D-Law, sending Fowler, Parsons, whatever, just get them up that A-gap and cause problems, because I don't think the Giants can block it right now.
Twist and stunts, I did that at cheer camp once.
Yeah, yeah. You were doing it on Sunday pregame when the cheerleaders were warming up. I got video of it.
For those of you with bated breath, Ian had absolutely nothing. So never mind.
No. Oh. He was going to say, I heard a hot. Well, never mind. I'm going to make up
what's
the rumor
that, what's
thing.
What's that, Umbrella Academy? I heard a rumor.
It's a Bananarama song.
Yeah.
All right, we got to get out of here because Jane has a show coming up at the top of the hour, so we need to clear the room. Jane Slater, NFL Network, Rob Phillips, DallasCowboys.com, Bobby Belt, 105.3 The Fan, the official home of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm Newey Scruggs. We will return with the Media Mash on Tuesday right here on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!